Good morning and welcome to Storylines on the Bay, 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley, and today we're speaking with author and engraver George A. Walker. George, welcome to Storylines.
Thank you, Christine. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, George, we're talking about your latest book, The Mysterious Death of Tom Thompson, which is, I can't wait to say this, it's the latest in your series of wordless novels.
That's but, right.
You know, in our conversation a little ahead of the interview, you were saying, you know, this is still reading. This requires visual literacy, just like emoticons, which, you know, we're pretty much using in everyday life now. So tell us why the wordless novel is a significant component of our storytelling tool chest.
Well, it's important because we always have read pictures. Think about how we navigated the seas reading stars and how we hunted prey by looking at footprints. So we naturally read images. And, of course, it's the birth of language itself. All written language was originally based on pictograms. Mm-hmm. We started with making pictures of things so we could identify them graphically.
And, you know, the story as it unfolds in this beautiful, beautiful wordless novel, which, by the way, I have to put the plug in for The Porcupine's Quill, because once again, it's just off the charts gorgeous, the rendering of this book, and I'm sure you're thrilled with it, George.
Yes, thank you. It's the Quill and Tim and Elka do amazing work, and I'm very honored to be part of their roster of authors.
Yes, and as I go through the novel, at around page 33, I start seeing pictures of the First World War. And so I had asked you, well, that's kind of weird, George, because Tom disappeared in July 2017. World War I was still going on, and I asked you about the fact that I haven't seen any reference to military service, but you had an answer for that.
Yes, well, Thompson wanted to join the Army. It wasn't because he was trying to avoid that. And there was a lot of pressure where he worked at The Grip, which is a graphic design firm in Toronto. And his daily job of going into work, he would see tons of rallies and bands, marching bands, all saying, you know, join the war effort. Everyone must do their part. And there was even a group of women in Toronto who would put chicken feathers in the lapels of men who had not joined the service.
Yeah.
And Thompson had tried to join several times and was unsuccessful. Some people say it was because he had some sort of medical issue, but that's never been proven. Another theory is that his patron, Dr. McCallum, had friends in Ottawa and had actually requested that he not be put into the Army at any cost because he was too important an artist to be in the service. But we don't know for sure, but these are some theories that people put forward.
Yes, and of course, speaking of theories, there's an awful lot of theories surrounding Tom's murder or death, because we really haven't solved that. And there's allusions to the fact that it was a result of a fist fight. There was speculation that either Tom owed someone money or someone owed Tom money, and you know, that led to an altercation. And there's some slightly more salacious theories. But, you know,
yes, I think Harold Town said he thought he died from peeing over the edge of the canoe and fell in, which is, I think, is absolutely ridiculous. But there's lots of theories, and it's certainly worthy of an Agatha Christie style story. And the problem with the mysterious death of Tom Thompson is it was never solved. And so here we have a situation where when his body was found, he went missing on July 8th in 1917. It was discovered that he had blunt force trauma to the head. But the cause of death was drowning. That's the official cause of death. But there are all kinds of circumstances that point to other things. He was in a dispute with another resident up in Canoe Lake, because you have to realize that Tom would often go to Canoe Lake, taking the Union Station train directly into the park, because mm-hmm. there used to be a train station in the park. So he would do that whenever he could, especially after 1914. You know, the war was on. There was a lot of pressure there. He wanted to get away from that because he felt it was unfair that he wasn't allowed to join the service. And one of the characters up there was actually an ex-Pinkerton's man from the U.S. who was sympathetic to the German cause, and he often got into arguments with him. He also had, and here's the romance in it all, he also had a romantic affair with a lady named Winnie Traynor. And the other theory is that there might have been an altercation because he had decided to go on a painting trip instead of marrying her, and the rumor is that she was pregnant at the time. So there are a lot of different theories as to what happened, but no one really knows. And as the years pass, we get more and more theories. But a ranger who worked in the park at the time, Mark Robinson, he claimed, even up to his death, that he felt that Thompson was murdered and that it wasn't accidental.
And you actually have other information that you've uncovered about the fact that perhaps the body that was meant to have been or rumored to have been recovered and buried in Leith is actually not Tom Thompson's.
Yes, well, or a body at all. It's never been, the grave has never been exhumed, you know, it dug up, and so we don't know for sure. But Mark Robinson, who was a friend of Tom Thompson, said that the body was never removed out of the park. Oh. When Thompson's brother had hired an undertaker in Leith, Ontario, to take the train into the park to recover the body, he came late at night. He came at about 8 p.m., and you know, the sun in July, it's setting around 9. Can you really dig up a body in an hour and put it in a coffin and drag it all the way to the train station and get it out of the park? So Robinson was skeptical, and when he saw the soldered box go into the train the next morning, he thought he'd send a ranger out to the area in the park, which was Hayhurst Point, to check to see if a body had been removed, if they had actually dug up the area where they had buried him. And the ranger came back and said, well, it's really strange. There's only like a few inches of dirt missing there. It's not like someone has dug up a body. So the rumor was is that they buried something in Leith, Ontario, but it may not have been Thompson's body.
Right. So that mystery endures.
Yes. And there was this Judge William Little, who wrote a book about the mysterious death of Tom Thompson. He went up with some friends in the 1950s, early 50s, and they dug up the site looking for a body, and they found a skull with blunt force trauma, which they believed to be Thompson's, and it had the blunt force trauma in the area of the skull, which the coroner had claimed where the blunt force trauma was.
Uh-huh.
And after he dug it up, he sent it to the University of Toronto, and I think it was the Hamilton McMaster Pathology office, and they both looked at it, and they determined that it was the skull of a First Nations person. But later, a few years ago, Roy McGregor took the photographs of that skull, because Judge Little had taken all these photographs, and sent them back to those pathology labs, and they claimed that it was an incorrect assessment of the skeletal remains, and that it indeed was not a First Nations skull at all. But they just took the bones and buried them back in Algonquin Park. So many believe that that is Thompson's body and that it still remains there.
Oh, okay. So the mystery will endure. And we enjoy that.
Mysteries do. And it's a great Canadian mystery, and I think that's a really important comment, is if it wasn't for Thompson's death, there wouldn't be a Group of Seven, I believe, because that he inspired that group to pursue painting our great wilderness.
In the way that they did, yes. And getting back to the mysterious death of Tom Thompson, your book, George, tell us why this is so ideally suited, this medium of your wood engravings is so well suited to this iconic Canadian story of Tom Thompson.
Yes, it's because Thompson did not write very many letters or keep a diary or anything. All his dialogue with us today is in the form of the paintings and sketches that he left. And so certainly this is the same, I've written it in the same language that Thompson spoke, a language of pictures.
Yeah, so we, I love the emoticon example that you give us because it does give us a whole lot of information in just a, you know, a picture, a pictogram.
Thank you. That's the challenge, is to try to be able to tell a story just in pictures. It's it makes a polylingual book because it can be read in any language.
Yes.
And so it's the reading of those pictures. If you know the story, then you can tell your story over top of the pictures. And it's a translation. And that's what we do when we see images. Often our critics, that's their job, is they see an image and they translate it into the medium of text. And so all art has that problem. It's always being translated into another medium and not allowed to just stand on its own. And I wanted to explore that notion of the image as a form of text.
Mm. George, we're just going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. But when we come back, I'd like to discuss with you, you make it sound easy and simple, given we're looking at images and taking the story from that. But the process is by no means easy or simple. So when we come back from the break, I'd really like to have you explain to us a little bit of the process of your wood engravings.
I'd be happy to. Thanks, Christine.
You're listening to Storylines on 88.7 FM. I'm Christine Cowley, and today we are speaking with author and engraver George A. Walker about his gorgeous new book, The Mysterious Death of Tom Thompson. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Storylines on the Bay, 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley, and our guest today is author and engraver George A. Walker. We're talking about George's latest wordless novel, The Mysterious Death of Tom Thompson. George, we've been having fun discussing the mystery surrounding the death of our iconic Canadian artist, and I was saying before the break we were going to talk a little bit about the fact that this work, even though the symbology is simplistic maybe in how we receive it, the work itself is by far more complex than maybe we'd imagine. So tell us a little bit about the actual work.
Well, I hand print the books first. These are all wood engravings. I carve the images on the end grain of Canadian maple, prepare all the blocks and sand them to a fine polish, and then I print them on my Vandercook proof press, and they're all printed in black and white. So I've, in some respects, I've taken the very thing that gives Thompson's work so much power, the color and vibrance of the paintings, and I've made it all black and white, like a silent film might appear on the screen.
Mm.
So the process of printing these requires that I use the engraver's tools on the block, and then it's the image is backwards, so maybe I should begin at the beginning. I make a drawing or a sketch, and I transfer that to the block. I ink it in, and then I engrave out all the areas that I don't want to print. So it's like a rubber stamp in that respect. It's all the areas that are raised get ink, and then I impress the paper into it. So I did 39 copies of the limited edition book because Thompson died when he was 39 years old.
Ah.
And one of the blocks, Tom Smart, found what he believes is one of the pieces is a piece of wood from a painting that Thompson did. So he actually was canoeing around with Ross King, the author Ross King, and found this space on Bing Inlet where he believed this piece of wood was from the tree that Thompson had painted, and I made the last engraving in the book on that piece of wood to bring some context into the work as
well.
Wow.
So we've got art rolled into art rolled into art rolled into a story.
Yeah, so the Quill publishes a popular edition of my hand-printed copies, and you can see my hand-printed copy on my website, which is george-walker.com, and you can also find pictures of me working in my studio and engraving the blocks of the tools so that your listeners can get a better idea of how I make the images. I also wrote a book called The Woodcut Artist Handbook, which is about the process of wood engraving, woodcut, lino cut, and that's available from Firefly Books.
And that's called?
The Woodcut Artist's Handbook.
And then you've written several other wordless novels. You've written Pierre Elliott Trudeau, La Vie en Rose.
Yes.
And there's Written in Wood.
Yes, Written in Wood is an anthology of my wordless narratives published by Firefly, and it has the Thompson book in that because it's a collection of wordless narratives. With the Quill, I've done La Vie en Rose, which is the life and times of Pierre Elliott Trudeau in 80 wood engravings because he died when he was 80 years old. And the last engraving in that book, A Tree in My Neighborhood, was the tree that inspired Alexander Murr to write The Maple Leaf Forever. And when that came down, I got a piece of that wood, and I engraved the last engraving on that to add that sort of context that I like to have, you know, a direct relationship between the subject matter and the medium.
And I'm going to send our listeners to both your website, george-walker.com, and to the website for The Porcupine's Quill.
Yes. So it's a great site, and they have so many terrific books, and they're so well printed. Both Tim and I are printers, and that's how we met, is because we both have an appreciation for fine printing. He has an offset press, and I have a letter press, which are different types of printing technologies. But I certainly, if I need a can of ink, I can beg Tim to get me a can, and he will, and he's very generous that way.
And listeners who aren't aware, I'm not even sure if you know, George, there's a contest that the Porcupine's Quill has run today in honor of your interview here, and if they go to the Porcupine's Quill website, they may win four of your wordless novels. And we're going to have to wrap, George. I'm sorry to say we've run out of time this morning.
Oh.
It's been such a pleasure to talk to you, and I really encourage our listeners to go to george-walker.com and have a look at these beautiful works of art that George has given us. George, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Storylines.
Thank you, Christine. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
And listeners, thank you for tuning in to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. Today we've been speaking with George A. Walker about the mysterious death of Tom Thompson. Please join us every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. for Storylines on the Bay.